Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before, or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you studied. I hope you're ready for fun. Are you ready, Tammy?
I'm ready.
Awesome. I'm so glad to see everybody. I'm so glad that we got this working. And yeah, praise the Lord. It's just going to be a great time, a great day. We're going to talk about the two witnesses today. If you are new here, this is the Freedom Force Battalion. We are on freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. Because why, you guys? It's biblical. What we're experiencing is biblical. We're in biblical times. We are so blessed of the Lord to live in this day. We are going to be doing this study, chapter 14, End Times and a 1,000 Years of Peace study guide. And we did this so that you guys could really think through. Tell me in the chat, is this really helping you? I hope it is, that you are doing your homework and it's forcing you to really think through these things. Because I have the one, End Times and a 1,000 Years of Peace study guide for beginners. That doesn't have the answers. But I also have the answer key. But I want you guys to do it with the one where you really, it forces you to think through it. Is that what you're doing, Miss Tammy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But you've got the cheat notes just in case. But yeah,
just in case.
Yeah. But then at least you've at least thought through it. Because you learn if you force yourself to think. Right? That's when you learn. If someone just gives you the answer, then you don't really go through the mental work. So that's what I'm asking you guys to do. You are the first to know. We are the first ones to know. There's so much misunderstanding about end times, and a lot of the church is not talking about it. They're just not. They're so focused on escaping earth, they aren't really talking about the golden age and the millennial kingdom. So before we get started, I want you guys to pray for me and our team and just everybody. We're joining together with this gigantic prayer push to help this truth to get out into the world. It's time. It is time, in my opinion, it's time for everyone to know. What do you think, Tammy? You ready for people to know?
I absolutely do, yes.
It's just time to stop the fear-mongering. We haven't really talked so much about the false prophet. We've talked about the beast, which is the Antichrist, and destroying them. And we see that happening before our very eyes. Their whole system is crumbling, which is so great. But the church has been so highly controlled that it's hard for anyone to get the truth about end times into the church. We're going to have to go a different way, which, just like the mainstream media has had so much, they've controlled the narrative. The church has controlled the end times narrative. And so we've gone around the media. We're going around the media about end times also. So just pray that we'll be able. Thank you so much, H. Clay. Thank you so much. Thank you for praying. Everybody, I know you guys are. I just love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for praying. It reminds me of the day when I was poisoned and I'm like, y'all, I got a problem here, something serious. Y'all pray. You remember that day, Tammy? I'm like, I got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. And y'all prayed and the Lord saved my life. And just, you know, the Lord hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. We're watching to see, remember how RFK said he's been praying for years and the Lord has now raised him to this position. This is what it talks about, that we will rule and reign with him in the millennial kingdom. He's raising us up to be in these positions as we've prayed, you know, and Big Pharma's controlled. But now look at the Lord has done. It's going to totally change. I think all the protocols are going to change. All that's going to be so wonderful. We're going to enter into the 1,000 years of peace. Whether people believe it or not, we're going. All right, so we're going to just, don't forget, hit the like button. Hit the like right now. Go ahead and do that. If you don't mind, everybody, go ahead and hit the like button because you know I'll forget. But if you can do that, that would be so, so great. And I'm going to actually put this over here so I can remind you guys a little bit later. So this is the book. We're going to be, like I said, on chapter 14. I thought I had this set, but let me move it down. Don't let me hurt your eyes as I scroll down to chapter 14. We've already done a lot. Last week, we talked about red pill, and I gave you guys, sorry, that's hurting my eyes. I talked a little bit about the very beginning of this chapter, which is Revelation chapter 11. Before it talks about the two witnesses, the Lord told John to measure the temple. And if you haven't seen that, go back and watch this video I did last week, which was on, actually this one right here, where John gets red-pilled. And that's when he swallowed that scroll. That's what we've all swallowed down, this red pill scroll. It kind of looks like a red scroll, doesn't it? But, you know, and it's been tough to swallow this down because you learn things you didn't know before, and it just makes you sick to your stomach like it did John. But I talked about how the Lord had told Ezekiel to measure the temple. He had told him to do the same thing. He had told him to do the same thing and to say, are they ready for this to come out? Are they ready for the Great Awakening? And they weren't then, but we are now. Humanity is ready now. Anyway, so I'll go into a little bit of that, and I'm not going to take the time to do it this week so much. But then the week before that, we did, let me refresh this, and you'll see this what the screen looks like. The seven trumps. Let me move me out of the way. Seven trumps decoded. And so today, we're talking about the actual seventh trump that sounds. In the other chapters, 8 and 9 of Revelation, it talked about the sixth trumpet sounding. But this week, we're going to talk about that seventh trumpet sounding. We're ready for that seventh trump to sound. And actually, that's when the kingdom, Christ rules this earth. That's what who's ready for that? Me. Everybody is. We want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on this earth, right? All right, so those are the ones to catch up. And if you want to go on freedomforce.live, you can actually go to this section right here, viewing these categories, the playlists, and you can just search for small group study. And there's two different ones. You can look at the live one. That'll keep you up to date on the ones we've been doing live. And then we did the other one, which was when I was actually putting together the study book. You can look on there. All right, so these are the three books. The study guide is based upon this one right here, which is the Decode of Revelation. All right, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Tammy, would you be my prayer leader? Thank you, darling.
I will. Heavenly Father, we just come to you again today. We just pray for each person here today to have peace, to have clarity, to have wisdom, to have discernment on everything that we're about to teach today, and that they know in their heart that it is your will and your way, and that they can take that out to another person. We ask that you silence any voice that is not yours, and Lord, we just bring it to you, that what your will be done. We just ask that this lesson is a big lesson, and we know that, Lord, and we just ask that every little red pill in this lesson today, that we can just take it and bring it out into the world and be confident and happy about it, and spread your word all over the place.
Yes.
There's not much more that I can say about that. I just give it to you, Lord, and I just ask that whoever hears us have ears to hear. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We're telling the good news of the kingdom. And this is the chapter
basically Revelation 11, which is 11:11. Did you guys hear Modi was talking with President Trump? He says the U.S. is the oldest. He called it a democracy, but whatever, that's okay. And then he says India is the largest democracy, and it's not two, it's 11. Did y'all hear him saying that? So yes. The 11 is the awakening number, and the verse 11:11. We're going to get to it, but I'll tell you a little beforehand. It says that God breathed life into them, and they stood up. That's
stood up.
Yes, she's got her 11:11 shirt on this morning. Yes, we have. Because the Lord spoke to us, he awakened us, and that's why we stood up. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Yes, I love what Modi said too. So exciting. All right, so the other thing that the Lord put in my heart to ask you is, if the Lord has put in your heart also to help people understand this truth, because you see how the end times scary message has caused so much division and so much heartache and fear, and if you know someone who you think would an influencer who would like to know this information and would potentially like to share this information with people, can please reach out to us. Tammy is, she does so many wonderful things for the battalion, but she, one of the things she does is she helps to receive the emails. And so helps me to do that. So it's a huge job that she has on that. And it's wonderful, but you can reach out through Freedom Force .live, and you can reach out there if you know someone who you feel like would really be ready to hear this message. All right. So as I've said before, this is a big piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And to the two witnesses have been, you know, in my opinion, strong opinion, this has been a big misconception, a misleading, a big deception to the church about the two witnesses. And I'll go ahead and tell you at the very beginning, that I believe, and so I'll tell you the end from the beginning, and it'll help, that I believe that the two witnesses are the church and the state. I really do believe that that's what it is, the two witnesses, because these are the ones, that the institutions that the Lord set up so that to bring righteousness in the earth. And that's the whole point of these witnesses. There's symbols, there's clues the Lord gives us. He doesn't say it's the church and the state, but it is, those are the two institutions that he set up from time immemorial to bring righteousness in the earth. You've got the legal system and you've got the religious system, and those are intended to bring righteousness, and they've both been hijacked. They've both been infiltrated. All right, so read for us, would you please? And I'm going to actually go over here to a big, where it's a little bit bigger, Revelation 11. We can read it from there. Everyone can read along this portion, this first paragraph.
Then I was given a measuring stick, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the number of worshipers, but do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during these 1260 days.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping me. So, yeah, as I said, Ezekiel was also told to measure the temple. And just a little bit different, but you can tell it's the same type of thing that he's being told to do. And in my opinion, what is happening is he's measure it to see those who worship, those who are they ready to take on these demonic forces. And back in the day, in Ezekiel's day, they were not. They were not. But he did get a vision that one day, I'm going to show you this when we get to it, but that one day the people would awaken and become this mighty army. And that's where we are on the timeline of history. That was like 2,500 years ago that he was told. Now, 2,000 years ago, John also was told to take a measuring stick and to measure. So the question is, the first one, what was he told to measure, Miss Tammy?
The worshipers.
Yes, yes. It says the temple and the altar and the count the number of worshipers.
Yeah.
Right, but that is exactly, you're exactly right. It's you know, what's happening in with my people?
It's,
right. It's, are they people really
within the church? So the ones that, when he's saying stay in, count the number and the.
Yes. Yes. And I take a broad stroke to this to say there are people who are worshiping God who are, you know, maybe they've been misled about a variety of things, but they really are trying to do God's will. Okay, there are a lot of people who are trying hard to And, you know, we've all been, as Paul said, deceived in many ways. And there's many who've been deceived. But where are the people who are really ready to stand up and fight for humanity, fight for righteousness in the earth? Measure this out. See how many people we got. You know, where are my peeps? But yeah, so who was saying over here? H. Clay was saying, this truth and the righteousness, the basis of God's kingdom. Yes. Who's ready to have his kingdom come? Really? And really, who's ready to fight for it? You know, there are a lot of people who want it, but who's ready to take all the guff, you know, and maybe be, canceled or whatever. And not to measure the outer courtyard, because there are people who are really, you know, they're in the courtyard, they're nearby, they love God, but they're maybe not like right in there in God's face saying, God, we really want to be part of what you're doing in this kingdom. Right? And so JSTX99 says, we're the temple. We are the temple. Yes, we are the temple. It's measuring us. Thank you very much. It's not about a building. Very good. And so the purpose, like you said, it's the purpose is kind of what I was just saying. Who's ready? Who's really devoted? Who's really ready to fight? Okay. And so you're not just someone who is nearby. You know, like I said, and I've said this many times, there are a lot of people who love the Lord, but they aren't really ready to fight. And that's okay. God has chosen certain warriors, and that's what he's chosen us to do. So, and the question is, why is he telling him to do this?
No, because it's time, and he needs to know who's ready.
Yes, yes. Are they ready? So what does it mean that the holy city would be tread underfoot or trampled?
Those who believe in God but are not quite awakened yet would be could be still tricked,
yes,
and misled.
Yep.
By the New World Order,
right,
and what they think may be right.
Right.
They're going down the wrong path.
Right. That is so important. You know, I just want you guys to really rejoice and be just pinch yourself. That the Lord has led you to the truth. It's his spirit that has led you to understand the truth. There are a lot of people who are still asleep and they just have not had their lamps trimmed. Remember how the virgins had their lamps trimmed? They were ready to, you know, and some of them didn't have their lamps trimmed. They were not ready. They weren't listening carefully. He says, if you will listen, if you'll watch, I will not come upon you in an hour you don't know. In other words, he's saying, if you're listening, then you'll know, you'll hear, you'll see the signs, you'll hear my voice. He'll direct us on not to take the jab, for example. He'll direct us on understanding the truth about 1,000 different topics. When he would remove the veil. For a long time, he kept that veil over our eyes because it was not yet time. But when it was time, he says, who's listening? And just, do y'all sometimes just think, this is just amazing that the Lord has spoken and I've heard his voice? It really never ceases to amaze me. And just really, really excited that we were chosen for this. And so when the times get tough, and you feel like, you know, maybe it's just too hard and you're aggravated because of all the things, you know, that you're canceled or difficulties with friends or family and you're like not on the same page. Just remember, you're very highly favored, highly blessed of the Lord. All right. So the trampling, it says they will trample the holy city for 42 months. So what is this 42 months? Or sometimes it says 42 days. What is that signifying?
A period of time, but a period of battle.
Uh-huh. That's it. There's like three different places throughout the Bible, and I have videos on this. If you want to go and look, and I talk about the 1260 days, which is 42 weeks, which is 3.5 years. You know, was it weeks? 42 months. Sorry, 42 months. In various places, it calls it 42 days. Whatever. It's a symbol, in my opinion, of a time of battle, a time of struggle. And it's a, you know, this is what we've experienced. And also when you, it says time, times, and half a time. Mm-hmm. These are all equivalent. These are all, in my opinion, symbolizing this time of struggle. And you see, it says, he will give the power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during that time of battle, during that 1260 days or 42 months. So what does it indicate when it's clothed in burlap? They're clothed in burlap. Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you remember what a burlap, what that represents?
Mm-hmm. No? I'm trying to blame you, but...
No? Well, burlap is a symbol of mourning. Like a mourning.
Okay. So sackcloth and burlap.
Yes. Okay. It really, I think probably in the King James, maybe it calls it sackcloth. It might call it sackcloth. That would have clued you in better than burlap, right? Because I like burlap. I think it's really pretty. But
it is.
Right. But it is scratchy. I don't want to wear burlap. I want it on a wreath, but I don't want to wear it. And so it's a picture of they'll be mourning, mourning. Mm-hmm. They're mourning because, you know, this is so awful when we find out what they're doing. And it's a time of mourning when you realize that this has been going on and harming the children. That's why you are here. That's why, yes, ashes and sackcloth. This is why we're here, because we found out about these things. And we're like, we're not going to live in a world where this is happening. We're going to fight until this is stopped, right? And each of us feels the same way. We're not going to stop until this is ended. So we're clothed in burlap, you know. So we have good news to tell, that this is the Armageddon battle. We're going to end this evil going on in the world. We know that that's what's happening, but we have to tell bad news too, right? We have to tell the bad news that Big Pharma is not working for our best interest. That you know, we have bad news that they're trafficking children on purpose. You know, there's the good news. It's ending because of the exposure. It's going to force it to end. The exposure is going to force it to end. All right. So, yeah, they're wearing mourning clothes. So why? And I just answered, they're distraught over all this. We are distraught over it. And so you might think, well, I'm not the religious institutions. I'm not the government institutions. But we really are, because we are we the people. We are the government. It's we the people. And not to anymore think of people at the top, you know, who are just the ones, but we, you know, and I just love to see Pete Hegseth. I just posted a video before we came on that you see Pete Hegseth with the guys, working out with the guys, with the soldiers, you know, not being like, oh, well, I'm above you and you do what I say. I mean, yes, there's a pecking order. I understand that. But it's that he thinks of himself as an equal. He's out there with them. You know, President Trump brings us in the room that we are, you know, we the people. And he's posting these things not to tell us that what he's, yes, he's doing it to tell us what he's doing, but also to build that we are working, we're doing this together, right? Mm-hmm. You feel that with each one of them, that RFK, you're like, we're going to build this together. We're going to help people understand how to be healthy. You know, we're doing this together. It's not this tyranny mandating everybody to, you know, do what they say. Anyway, so this is what we are doing. We are these witnesses. We are the people to run the religious institutions and the government institutions. Does that make sense? All right. Now, for the next thing, let's go ahead and read this next paragraph. But you guys pop out, if you have any questions, pop them in the chat. And I want to make sure that if there's anything. Oh, yeah. Someone said ecclesia. M.R. Hayes says ecclesia. We are the church. Thank you. Thank you. That's a very good point. We go to church, or we're being told by the religious leaders what to do. We are the church. We are the temple. All right. All right, so if anyone has anything else to shout, just put it in the chat, and I'll try to follow that too. And I know Songbird, you will give us the little alarm if I miss something. And I've got my microphone plugged in; it's glued in for an atomic blast. It won't come out for anything. All right, so go ahead and read for us, Miss Tammy, this section 4 mm-hmm. through 6.
Okay. These two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and it consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. They have power to shut the sky so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. And they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish.
Yeah. Okay. So that has a lot of symbolism. Okay. They're clearly not olive trees. They're clearly not lampstands. Mm-hmm. They clearly don't have fire literally coming from their mouths. Mm-hmm. It's all so much symbolism. Okay, so we'll go through it. And they're not going to stop the rain, you know, or turn the rivers to blood. This is so much symbolism, right? All right. So the first question is, what are olive trees and candlesticks used for? This verse says they're two olive trees. What are olive trees used for?
Healing and comfort.
Yes, yes. And I have a verse in here in the book. I said, you know, from Psalm 52:8, it says, I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. Of course, we eat olive oil. You know, we're not using some of this yucky canola oil and all that. Get that out of your house. Out, out, out. But we're doing olive oil and these all healthy oils. It's good on the outside for your skin. It's good on the inside for your organs. So it's just, you know, this is a refreshing for healing and not just for the physical healing, but for the healing of humanity to get rid of the corruption. Okay. So this is what these two witnesses or two prophets are supposed to do to bring this healing, get rid of the corruption, right? And then the other verse I have here is Psalm 104:15, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, bread to give them strength. Okay, so this is what the picture is they're supposed to bring health, like RFK is going to bring. They're supposed to bring justice to the earth, okay? And then the two lampstands, what does a lampstand do?
Light the way.
Right. Candlesticks. Another version says candlesticks, but gives the light. So what is that a picture of?
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Yeah, I'm asking. Yeah.
Well, no, that's the picture of that. They're getting the truth out that.
Yes.
Making sure that there's justice, truth.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so, you know, that's what the church is supposed to bring, this light. But unfortunately, a lot of and not just the church, the religious institutions, okay? Whatever brand it is, and so many of them have roots in God's word, but they've been hijacked. Each mm-hmm. one of them has been hijacked so that they've hidden some of this truth, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And they've just been taken, you know, under such tight control that they can't get the light out. And some of them are very dim, lighting the way very dimly. But anyway, so that's our job as the witnesses to get this light out of God's word, of what, you know, the truth is about there's two genders. The light, you know, about just, you know, all throughout God's word. And what we're focusing on right now is the truth about end times, right? So whatever truth is, that is what the religious institutions are supposed to do. And, you know, God's people, the temple of God, which is us, we're supposed to do. And to make sure that there's justice, there's light on, you know, what's happening, has been happening at the border, you know, light on everything. Everything will be revealed. Everything. And that when the light shines on it, then righteousness comes. So this is what the purpose was. So that gives us clues on who are these witnesses, right? Which I've already said, it's the church and the state, but that's what their intended purpose was, has always been. All right. So next, it says, it's talking about that they will, let's see, I've got something here about the 1260 days. They're going to prophesy for 1260 days. So, but that, I feel like that's symbolic. It's not about a physical number of days. I've not been able to, you know, see that. There might be a literal time frame for that, but I haven't ever found that. But basically, I think it's a period of battle, as we talked about before. Okay, so the first witness, now let's go to the end of verse 5. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. So how can they consume their enemies? Am I getting ahead a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, because...
Okay, I'm getting a little bit ahead. Okay.
A little bit ahead, yeah. But I was going to say for the two witnesses, what we're talking in there about the law and the holding back the rain and stuff, most people believe that the two witnesses may be representing Elijah and Moses.
Right. Yes, yes.
And so that's where they leave it. And how, yeah. I think it just brings it to their attention. But if we're looking at Elijah, Elijah represents the church. You know, he's the religious,
yes,
institutions,
right? So whenever, yeah, know. Elijah is it, when you look at the he's kind of the represents the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament right. leaders, religious leaders, right. exactly. So he does that, and Moses represents the law. He was the one who brought down the Ten Commandments, right?
Right, right. Which brought today would be the state and the church,
exactly. So right. clearly, this is all symbolic to help us to see what he's talking about is that those, whatever you want to call them, church and state, mm-hmm. whatever, religious institutions, government institutions, you know, that's what it's clearly talking about. But they both have, whether it's church and state, they have the ability to consume their enemies. Mm-hmm. They have the you know, as the Lord said, that the law, whatever. What is it? Somebody quote that verse for me. The law does not wield the sword in vain.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, execute. They can lock you up. They can do whatever they need to do to stop someone who's doing some crime. They have that power. This is what it's talking about in verse 5. If anyone tries to stop the government, they have this power for fire to flash from their mouth. In other words, to lock you up. To lock up the bad guys. And you've got the government has the, like what we're seeing right now happening with getting rid of these criminals who've come into our country. They have the power to get rid of these people. And I'm very thankful they're actually doing their job now.
That's what I was going to say. Prior, they had been really infiltrated and just...
Not doing the job.
Not doing the job.
And then and we were put in at terrible risk. But the truth is, the way they're really supposed to run is if you try to stop them from doing their job to bring righteousness and justice and light in the world, then you'll be in big trouble. That's what it's talking about in verse 5, right? Does that make sense, everybody? That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the church also has had this, you know, this power and has wielded this power sometimes too much, like with the Inquisition. You know, they went way overboard and used this power for evil. But there is something that the Bible says that if someone is doing evil in the church, and then they need to be put out of the church so that everyone understands this person is not truly a believer. And that hopefully that person it'll cause that person to wake up and realize, well, I didn't, I didn't think that this was that big of a deal. Well, it is a big deal. You know, but unfortunately, the church has not been holy. And so they have not had the moral ground to call anyone out. So now we have like this woman who's talking about, you know, the transgender. That's where it leads to, is that they have no moral authority at all. The church is supposed, the religious institutions are supposed to have the moral authority to make sure that you have righteousness in the earth. And look at where we are, because mm-hmm. they've abdicated that. Go ahead, Tammy.
Oh, I was just going to say, and now that we are getting the right people in the right positions, we're following the money. And the money, unfortunately, is leading to the churches. And there will be sadness, because there are some really highly respected church people that unfortunately are probably on that list.
Exactly.
And they're as well as the state and the other things. Yep. But we are now getting the right people. So yep.
Yep. There you go. There you go. And so we really have not focused so much on the false prophet, those who've been the infiltrated the church. There are a lot of pastors who are you know, not part of it. They're just either they're ignorant of it, or they're just trying to do their job, and they're, you know, just like they're good doctors who are prevented from doing what they want to do because of big harma. So, you know, this is all going to get sorted out, but there are the ones at the top who know and are trying so hard to prevent the truth from coming out. So yeah, this is a big day that we're living in to watch this, all this truth come out. All right. So, this is their purpose. The church has a purpose too, that as it says here, this is how anyone who, if they're able to consume their enemies, don't think of it, you know, like someone going burning at the stake. Think of it like, I mean, they have taken it to that extreme, but to, as it says in the Word of God, it, you know, to hopefully this person, when they are removed from the body of believers, and it'll wake them up and they'll realize, I need to stop this transgender, you know, ways or whatever it is that they're doing. All right. We're going to solve this whole riddle of the transgender, because a lot of this is because they've messed up the hormones so badly, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, so you've got that. And then verse 6, as you were saying, that they have the power. These two witnesses have the power to shut the sky so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. Well, again, who's the one who stopped the rain? Who is that? And clearly it was Elijah. All right. So I think I've got this verse right here in the book of James chapter 5. It says in verse 17, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Again, with the 3.5 years. So that's just a period of struggle, a period of battle. And so he was battling against Ahab and Jezebel. If you haven't read this story, I think I had that story in End Times. Let me pop this in here, all the books. This is End Times, and this is biblical. So we're seeing where we're fighting Ahab and Jezebel, the demon worshipers who've taken over our government. All right, so this is exactly like Jezebel did. That's really the story of Jezebel. So he did, and he prayed again, and the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. That got their attention. Now, we're not stopping the rain, but we are getting their attention because of all of our posts. This and sharing this grassroots. We are the church. We are the people, and we are doing this. So we are the ones who are stopping, quote, stopping the rain, in the sense that we are getting their attention. Okay. That Elijah by himself, without the rain, he didn't have social media back in the day, but he had to, this was the way he got the attention of Ahab and Jezebel. Clearly, as you were saying before, he represents the religious institutions. And it says in the end of verse 6, they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. So you've clearly, this is talking about Moses. You know, I don't know of anyone else who turned the rivers into blood. He did. And he caused these plagues all over Egypt. And if you haven't seen the Ten Commandments, you got to go watch the Ten Commandments movie. But basically, remember how he struck the river, the Nile, and it turned into blood. As it says here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 9, if they don't believe or listen to you, even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground. And when you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. Remind you of Cain and Abel, how Abel's blood cried out from the ground. It's this, the people of the Israelites had been killed by these tyrants, and it was a picture that their blood is crying out for judgment, right? And this is what the law is supposed to do, is cry out for judgment against the evildoers, right? All right, so when you think of this, the power to consume the enemies, let me see if I can move this. The power to consume the enemies, the power to stop the rain, the power to turn the water into blood. This is representative of the religious institutions and the government institutions that have the power to bring justice on the earth. And that's what we're doing. Okay, so this is what the whole thing about the two witnesses is about. And I've seen very strange interpretations of this passage. But I don't know of anyone else who has called them the religious institutions and the government institutions. I don't know of anyone else who has. Maybe they have. I don't know, but it seems very obvious to me. What do you think, Tammy?
I absolutely. He's, you know, and in their time, Elijah and Moses, they're also a part of that representation. I don't believe that it's them again.
No, exactly. Thank you. That's what I think some people think, that they'll come back. It's not about, exactly. It's not about them physically coming back, Elijah and Moses. Thank you. That's a very good point. It's not about that, or about these two people who stand in the street. It's not about standing in a street. I mean, we're, in essence, on social media, standing in the streets, crying out, wake up, wake up. Every post that we do, we're trying to tell people, this is what's really going on. And, you know, so that's how we're doing it. All right, so have I asked all the questions? I think so. Yeah, I think the first witness, the first prophet, the first, what do we call it? Called it at the beginning? Two witnesses, yeah. The first one is the church or religious institutions. The second one is the law or the government institutions. Okay, so now let's go to, have they fulfilled their roles? And of course we know they fail miserably because of the infiltration, and that they have silenced so many of the ones who are fighting to make it righteous institutions. Okay, so now let's read chapter 11, 7 through 10, and it's got very odd symbolism. This one is probably the toughest one, but we're going to go through it little by little, and we're going to get there. So read that for us, Miss Tammy.
Okay, when they complete their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them.
All right. Thank you. All right. I've literally heard people say that there are going to be witnesses that are going to be let dead in the streets in Israel, and they won't be able to be buried. That's not it. That is not it. Again, the book of Revelation is highly, highly symbolic. And so, you know, especially when you look at later on in Revelation 19, you're going to see that there's a sword in his mouth. And, you know, and then Revelation 14, where it talks about there's a lamb on Mount Zion. It's not a sword, a physical sword. It's not a little lamb. You know, it's not that. And so all of this is very highly symbolic. And it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of prayer and a lot of wisdom to decode it. All right, so when they complete their testimony, the beast comes up out of the bottomless pit and will declare war against them and will conquer them and kill them, these two witnesses. Okay, so what does it mean when they finished their testimony? Is that good or bad?
At that point, it's bad to stop testifying to the truth.
Right.
And so lies take over, and this is very bad.
That's very bad. That's exactly what's happened. It's very, very bad that and really, some people have been maybe either fired from their position because they spoke the truth. Maybe people have been removed, you know, basically chased out of a church or run out of a political position or a government position because they were trying to bring justice. And so they aren't able to, you know, silenced, canceled, removed from YouTube like we've been and from social media. You know, this is how they've been able to defeat us for so long, is because either people didn't know the truth to share it, or the ones who did, who were whistleblowers, were silenced or killed or whatever, removed. And that's what it's talking about him.
It's like governor that he just pardoned.
Yes. Yeah.
Blagdovich,
I don't know how you say his name, but anyway, yeah, something like that. So yeah, he's been railroaded because he was out there trying to expose the truth. And that's what has happened to so many of the people who were trying to do the right thing. They've just been, one thing or another has happened to them. JFK, another great example, you know, and so that's what's been made it really, really hard. They've run roughshod over us. This is the trampling it was talking about at the beginning of this chapter. And so their bodies will lie in the main street. Do we have any other questions before we go on to the next thing? I think that's it. Okay, so the beast coming out of the bottomless pit, it says that their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. Don't think about a physical city. Think of symbolically, wherever you are, wherever God's people are, is a city of peace. We are peacemakers. We want to bring peace in the world. We want everyone to be happy and have what they need. And so this is not about a physical city. This is about a symbolic, this is God's people. The city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt. Very interesting. Figuratively called Sodom and Egypt. Okay, so what was the sin of Sodom?
Sexual deviancy.
No doubt. That's what it was. The reason the Lord brought down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah was because of their sexual deviancy, right? And so, hello, ding, ding, ding. Does that sound like the New World Order? They have ruled by sexual deviancy, getting all these videos on people from Epstein Island and different ways that they've been able to control these bad guys. And get people under their control because of sexual deviancy. It's not a coincidence that many of these people have their terrible perversions. That's what they like to raise into these positions of power because they know they're easily controlled. All right. So what about Egypt? What is this figuratively called Egypt? What does that represent?
Tyranny.
The tyranny. This overlords that control the people and will kill them and enslave them, right? Hello, ding, ding, ding. This is the New World Order. This is how they have been tyrants over us. So this is a picture of how they've conquered us and they've, through their controlling the politicians and the CEOs, et cetera, because of their sins of Sodom, sexual deviancy, and their tyranny over us. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. I think that's the answer. That's the riddle. And once you sit and think about it, a lot of times what we do is we read a passage and we don't sit and think about it and dwell on it and try to figure out what is the Lord really saying here. So that's what he's saying. And it says the city where their Lord was crucified. So what do you think of have you thought about that? What does that mean? That where their Lord was crucified?
I need to go back. I already went ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I think I talked about that in the book. I don't know if I actually.
I don't think you did in here, but okay. You know, I think it's still symbolic too because it's all over the. You know, well, he was, I don't know how to say it. I think Jerusalem is symbolic of
yes
all of everything that's going on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, crucified among us all.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how I meant to say that, but.
Yeah, well, I think that he, you know, certainly our Lord Jesus was crucified by these very same ones who led, mm-hmm. Rome was led, and the priesthood was led by sexual deviancy and tyranny. Yeah. They were clearly tyrants over the people and clearly doing evil. And the Lord Jesus knew this. And so he was crucified for this very, under the same type of regime. And we've been crucified too, in one sense, that we've been killed or stopped or, you know, crushed from being able to run the religious institutions and the government for all this time. And that's what basically he's saying. All right. So, and of course, our Lord Jesus, his blood, if someone repents, his blood can cover this and take someone who is a deviant and change him and take someone who is a tyrant and change him. But they have to, you know, repent. All right. Now, verse 9, for 3.5 days, all the people's tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their dead bodies. Okay. So, what do you think about this? Do you want to go ahead and answer that one?
Well, that's where I was. I was
Okay,
already
okay.
at the, because that was always a big thing for me is, you know, leaving the bodies out there, not burying them. So when I, if I believe that it's the church and the state, I believe that the New World Order, the evil ones, kept us thinking those institutions were working like they were supposed to, even though they were being run by evil people that were doing things that were really harming us, and we were approving it. Giving our money and paying for it and not realizing that we were actually party to our own demise.
Exactly.
So as long as they made it appear that they were still the church and the state proper, we you know, we were asleep.
There's
They
churches
were.
on every corner. We don't need another church because, I mean, or religious institutions. So wherever you are, there's different, groups that are supposed to bring this light and this righteousness in the earth. We don't need more, but little did we know how infiltrated they were. I think COVID was a big, when they bowed to COVID, that was a big wake-up call for a lot of people. But then, same thing with the government. Exactly. So that's they're dead in the streets. But you're like, they're there, but they're not doing their job. What did we learn this week? Oh, what you were saying about we just learned this week that we have been paying with our own money. USAID has been paying, using our money, to pay Politico to deceive us. Paying them millions of dollars to deceive us. I mean, the whole thing is so messed up, it's not even funny. But anyway, people are staring at their bodies like, why is the church not having any effect? Why is the government not having any effect? Why? Well, as we said, because they're infiltrated, and they're not allowed to be buried. Do not tear down the churches. Do not tear down the any of these religious groups. Just let them go along, because then people will think that they're just need to be tweaked, right? All right. So then, verse 10, all the people who belong to this world, another version calls them the earth dwellers. They will gloat over them and give presents to each other, celebrating this death of the two prophets who had tormented them. Well, when he talks about earth dwellers, we aren't really earth dwellers. Don't think of yourself as an earth dweller. Okay, Lenny Bell says that we've been paying our enemies to attack us every which way. Yes, we have, Lenny Bell. It makes me crazy, but I'm so thankful the truth is coming out. We've been talking about this for years, and now everybody's starting to see it. It's become mainstream. So just keep sharing, keep sharing. They've gloated over us, and they've celebrated that we were just stuck. We were stuck until the Great Awakening. Until, as you guys know, I'm going to show it to you because you know how much I love it, is the sign of the Son of Man. When you go to freedomforce.live and you scroll down, you'll see this picture, this beautiful sign in the heavens, so-called the woman in labor. And I have a whole chapter on it in this book, Major Clues for Minor Prophets. It talks about it 18 times. The minor prophets told us about this sign that would happen. And as soon as we saw this sign, then we started to realize what was happening and awaken. And now we're no longer going to be under their boot. But they've been celebrating because we couldn't get out, but now we are, and they're scared to pieces. But we had tormented them in the past because we would hold them accountable for their crimes. That's what question number 26 is about. How have we tormented them? Because we said you cannot harm children. If you do, you will be, in serious trouble. Or if you kill, it's just serious bit consequences for sin. And so they're like, yay, no one's holding us accountable anymore. We're going to rejoice and gloat and just. And I think of the gloating as that they've silenced us. They're like, nanny nanny boo boo. There's nothing you can do about it, right? It's been aggravating. And I don't really care for this gloating. And they're gonna not think it's too funny when that cell door slams shut. Won't be funny then. All right, but we had tormented them when the church and the state were operating properly. All right, so, but here's the big but in the whole Bible. It's like all this stuff has been going on, but something amazing happened. Something amazing happened, and we've experienced it. And that's why Tammy's wearing her shirt. Uh-oh, that's a little bit bigger.
Happy children.
You're the 11:11 shirt. Here we are in verse 11:11. You get to read it. Go ahead and read 11:11.
All right, but after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, and they stood up. terror struck all who were staring at them. Then keep going. A loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets.
Hang on. Okay. I just want to sit on 11:11.
Okay.
I just want to just sit on that verse and just soak it in. That verse right there, 11:11. I know most of you guys see 11:11, don't you? You see it. 11:11. After 3.5 days, after that period of struggle, after all the struggle and the grief and the, you know, whatever we've been going through, God breathed life into them. Just like he did with Ezekiel and the dead dry bones. He awakened them. They were dead on the valley floor, but God breathed life into us. He did that for each one of us. Isn't that amazing? I love it. And they stood up. We are standing up. The two witnesses, the church, we are the church. We are the state. We are the people. We have stood up and they are terrorized. They are terrified. Terror struck all who were staring at them. What a verse. This is just, it's so amazing. This is 11:11 and we all see 11:11. This is the awakening verse. No doubt this is blessed of the Lord to have this verse right here. Okay, so yeah, I wanted to share before we move on. This is from Ezekiel. This is the picture of what has happened to us.
The Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath and say to it, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He has done that for us. He has done that, and he breathed. Not only did he, you know, bring us back to life, he gave us the power to stand up and become this mighty army. This is what Revelation 11:11 is all about. Someone asks you if you get the 11:11, you know, something, then you, and someone said, "What does that mean?" It's that God breathed into us. That's how we stood up, because we couldn't do it on our own. It had to be in his exact timing. He did not breathe life into us until after the 1260 days or 3.5 years, whatever that period of struggle had to be finished. And after that period of struggle, then he awakened us. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful and amazing thing. What do we call this event, everybody? What do we call this event? Yeah, I see 11:11. I see 1:11 too, Duncan too. Yeah. You want that video? I will pop that.
Great Awakening.
We call it the Great Awakening. We do. We call it the Great Awakening. I'm going to pop that into the chat, and Songbird, you can pop that if you don't mind into the comment section. But yeah, that's the video. I love that. The Valley of Dry Bones. So this, and then the Mighty Army is the one that I play so many times when we first start our video, which is the one about Joel chapter 2. About this, the day of darkness and gloom, day of thick clouds and deep blackness, but suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. And that's when I play this video right here at the beginning, reading that Joel 2, because that's us. We are this army. This is what the Lord had, why he awakened us. This is like from Ezekiel's army rose up from being dead to not only being alive, but being an army, right? That's absolutely amazing to be a part of this. Just amazing. This is why it's so important that people know how this is biblical, because it really, it just changes everything. No more fear. You know this is biblical. 17 told us it was biblical. 9 different times he told us this, right? All right, so on the book, they're in great fear. And don't forget, if you read this book, and you can also listen to the audiobook on my website, but this one, Major Clues from Minor Prophets, each one of these minor prophets, well, not various ones, told 18 times about this, this amazing awakening. So this is what we are getting to enjoy and be a part of. All right, so and the terror struck them when they saw the woman in labor. When we awakened, they knew this was a sign for us that we are awakening. The giant, the sleeping giant, had awakened, and there's no turning it back. And that they know that we won't stop. That's why they've done everything in the world to stop us. They couldn't stop Trump. They can't stop us. We will not stop until the children are rescued and this evil is put down, and that we throw them in the slammer, right? We will not. When you go to freedomforce.live, go to audiobooks right here, and you can listen to the audiobook, End Times, Major Clues for Mine. All of them are on here, all the books, the 17 Bible stories, all that, so you can listen to them and really soak all that in. And it might take several times to listen. Actually, this book is in there too. I have audiobooks for all three. All right, so then what happened next? Now you can read verse 12.
All right. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, "Come up here." And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched.
Amen.
So I'm going to stop there. Keep going.
No, stop right there. What is that talking about? I don't know if I have, what question are we on? I got too excited. so it's just too exciting. So it's, I don't know if I have a question about specifically that.
No, you don't have a question about
Well, 32, I guess. Okay, here we go. 31.
What
could rose to heaven in a cloud mean symbolically?
Well, again, the cloud symbolically means power and authority. So they rose. They came back to their rightful power and authority.
Yes. So, but what do a lot of people claim this verse to mean? Have you ever heard what they claim? Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're saying that this is evidence of a rapture, that we're going to leave in the clouds. Right? No, that's not what it means. That's why would he awaken us to be this almighty army and then have us escape? No, that's not it. You see why they try to do this, or they try to seed our thoughts on escaping, because you don't have any reason to fight if you're leaving. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think I had a picture of that the Lord would zap them. But he has established, he told us to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to baptize them, and to teach the people what to do so that we could take dominion. Someone had just posted a little earlier about dominion, that we would take dominion of this earth. He told Adam and Eve to do that, and they didn't do it, but he said, you're going to do it. It's just like when a mom tells a kid to clean their room, you're going to clean your room. You're going to do this. I'm not doing it. You're doing it. So it's the same thing. The Lord says, you're going to clean this world up. And so this is what we are doing, and this is why we are rising into these positions of power, to clean up this world, to rule and reign on this earth, and to bring righteousness in this earth, and to cast out the evildoers. And the enemies are watching, and that's why they're panicking. This is happening right now. All right, so what's the next thing that's going to happen? Miss Tammy, verse 13.
At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Amen. All right. So this earthquake, I believe, is when we see this house of cards, and I really feel like it's coming so close, so soon. Don't you guys? With all these people being put into place, you've got now RFK put into place. You've got Tulsi Gabbard put into place. All these ones, the cabinet members are put into place. Elon is exposing this right and left, front and center, day after day after day. And this, and then you've got Kash Patel going in there, is potentially the 17th one going in, maybe Monday. But it's the whole house of cards is going to collapse like an earthquake. And you know, that's why they see it. They see it coming. There's nothing that can stop what is coming. This is biblical. And it says it destroyed a tenth of the city. So that's an interesting thing. It's not that every person in this cabal, I think it's saying that not every person is going to be brought to judgment or, you know, executed, but there, you know, many of them will repent, as it says. 7,000 people died in that earthquake and everyone else was terrified. Now, this is very symbolic. 7,000 is that number seven. So it's a certain number will be brought to judgment and the other ones will, you know, it says be terrified and repent. So I think if someone's done a crime, they will pay for their crimes, but not all of them will be executed. Okay. So the Lord knows the ones who are singled out for that judgment. But they'll be held to an account for their crimes. No deals. No one gets away. But there will be certain judgment for the ones at the top. All right, this terrifying earthquake. All right, so then what happens? Okay, so before we go on to that, verse 14 says the second terror is past, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. Or woe. If you remember, like I was saying, when you watch the video here about the seven trumps, this is where we were, it was talking about all, we actually just talked about, well, I did talk about seven trumps. I moved ahead because here's finally in Revelation chapter 11 where it talks about the seventh trumpet. But the first four trumpets were separated from the last three. The last three are the three woes. If y'all remember what the first woe was or the first terror? The first terror was that they brought out the fake news. You know, because if you remember the first four trumpets were how they have been destroying us with the four horsemen, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse. Those were the first four trumpet blasts. They're destroying you. And then they realize we're awake. So they bring out the fake news in just full blast from every corner, silencing anyone who doesn't agree with them. And so that was the first woe. Yes, that was woe because they have done so much to silence us. But the second woe, or the second terror, which was the sixth trumpet, was that we stood up and we fought back and we spoke out the truth and we overcame them by the word of our mouth and the word of our testimony. So that is the sixth, or the sixth trumpet, or the second woe. So now we're finally getting to the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe. Thank you. I'm going to make sure I say this right. The third woe is, it's not woe for us though. The second woe is not bad for us too. It's because that's us standing up. It's terror for them. It's the end times for them, right? Just like the book, end times for them. That's so important. I have to make sure everyone understands it's the end times for the tyrants, for the sexual deviants. All right, so how they run the world. But this third woe or third terror is coming quickly and it's going to bring terror on them. So read to us verse 15.
Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet and there were loud voices shouting in heaven. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep going. No, that's good. Yes, the seventh angel blew his trumpet. I'm ready for that seventh trumpet. I think this is what it's talking about. It says, you know, you'll love how this movie ends. We're going to see this. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. When these evildoers are gone, it's the kingdom of Christ has come. It's just going to be amazing. Get ready. So do we have a question? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and it's being done very publicly, you know, who has eyes see, just like yesterday in the news conference when the AP was banned from the room. You have been warned. You have been told no more fake news. Because if you're fake news, you're out of here. And so it's,
hot diggity. It's amazing. Yes.
And we're seeing it. So, you know, it's all being brought before us. So now's the time to keep your eyes open and watch.
Oh, exactly. So, yeah. So that's why I share so much. And I'm like, I don't mean to share so much, but it's like there's so much going on. It's just really exciting. And in Revelation 20, it says there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. And it's because these people who are lying or just, we're not going to put up with it. We're not. We're in power now. God's people are in power. We're back, and we're not putting up with the fake news. And you've been doing this with impunity, just being able to get away with it. And that day is over. So they finally are ready for that seventh trumpet to blow, and the world to become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever. Read for us verse 16.
Okay, the 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped Him.
Keep going.
And they said, "We give thanks to you." Oh,
yeah, keep going.
Keep going. "Thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign."
Yeah, keep going.
The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people, and all who fear your name, from the least to the greatest. It is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth.
Go ahead, one more.
Then in heaven, the temple of God was opened, and the Ark of His covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hellstorm.
Amen. Amen. I just love one of my favorite, and I've quoted it to you guys so many times. We give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. Clearly, clearly He has had the power, but He has not assumed that power. He is not. He's allowed the prince of the power of the air to rule. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You, just like the rest of the world, you obey the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world." Or it also says, let me see if I pulled it up. Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. This is what was happening. We were under his authority. But finally, what's happening now is in this verse is when Christ rules, he will assume his role. Satan has usurped that, just like all these usurpers, like a Biden was a usurper, like the royal, the British royals have usurped. All these usurpers have been put in these positions, just like the white horse is all these usurpers. We're seeing how they've used our government, our tax dollars to usurp all these political positions all over the world. We're seeing that these were not true leaders. These were ones who were put in positions by intrigue, by the CIA doing all these color revolutions. And so now these people will be removed and the Lord Jesus will rule this earth. That's what it says. He will assume his great power and he's begun to reign. And they were filled with wrath, but it's time for the wrath of God. The wrath of God to bring down judgment on these evildoers, and not only bringing down judgment on them, but to reward those, to reward the righteous. How about that? Reward the righteous. As the servants, the prophets, the holy people, and all who fear your name. There's varying degrees. There are some who are on the front lines who are, gangbusters going, fighting, full charge. There are other ones who love the Lord who are maybe just, in the sidelines. Either way, everyone's going to be rewarded according to whatever the Lord sets up. That's His business, how He does that. Anyway, but everyone who fears His name, from the least to the greatest, it's time to destroy all those who cause destruction on the earth. That's the seventh trumpet. That's why it is the third terror, the third woe. They're freaking out. They know it. They're panicking. Go ahead. Did you have something to share, Tammy?
Oh, I just in line with that too. Everything that was used against this is now coming back, boomerang on them.
Exactly.
Where he put out all those people with $100,000 annual salaries and they're worth millions. That's out there in that big hemisphere that we talked about it, but now it's out there
Amen.
where everyone can see it, and it will be investigated.
Amen. And they'll be prosecuted, they'll be brought to judgment. Clearly, it says this in Revelation 11. It says it, actually, if you remember, Revelation is not chronological. The book of Revelation is,
Right.
it tells little vignettes. It'll tell, like, in a whole chapter, it'll tell the whole story of what's going to happen in one little nutshell. And then the next chapter, it'll go into more detail. And then more, and so then it starts to expose, okay, who are the different players? You'll have the harlot. You know, we're going to come up on that in the next couple of chapters. All right. So the last thing is, according to 11:18, what are the first things Christ will do when he assumes his power and begins to rule? He's going to judge the dead and reward the righteous, right? That's what he's going to do immediately. All right. So now, this in summary, let's just go back and summarize this whole chapter. John was told to measure the temple. Are you guys ready for the Great Awakening? And it is time, right, for the Great Awakening. And so we've talked about I talk about in the book, the symbolism of the 1260 days and the 42 months and the 3.5 years and the times and a half a time, which is also the loop of Jupiter. It's a biblical period of time that the Lord has set up and of struggle. And so this is about the institutions that the Lord has set up to bring righteousness in the earth. They've been hijacked. And that they represent the church and the state. And so when they finish their testimony, then they end up being trashed completely, where they can't get the job done. And so they get hijacked and completely taken over. And so then they don't shut it down. They just leave all these religious institutions and the church out here, and they rejoice, and they're so happy that they are running at the world. But then this miracle happens. Revelation 11:11, the miracle happens where the Lord awakens us, and we, by His Spirit, start to understand what's going on, and we rise up as this mighty army, just like it says in Joel chapter 2, just as it says in Ezekiel 30, was it 37? I think it was 37. Yeah, 37? Yeah, 37.
37.
Yeah, and so this is what the Lord has told us would happen, and just like He said, just like He said, just like clockwork. Just like clockwork, it did happen. And then we know that the same thing is going to happen. Just like he promised, we're going to see the earthquake destroy the evildoers. He will judge the evildoers, and he will reward his people. Amazing. Who loves the two witnesses? Makes perfectly good sense. And it really makes it, the way that they've taught it, it's just been really embarrassing. Embarrassingly bad, but they did this, and they said, oh, well, we don't know. Most of the time I've ever heard anyone talk about the end times teaching, they're like, well, we don't really know what it's maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I'm not doing that. I know what it means. And so we now know it's very clear. Now that we've had the Great Awakening, it's very obvious, very, very clear what the truth is about it. There's no doubt about it. It's the end times for them. And 1,000 years of peace for us. So, yeah, check it out. Don't forget, this is the study guide. This is the one that for the beginners. I'll pop this over into the chat. So if you don't have your book, and if you've only got the study guide with the answer key, get the regular study guide so you can actually think through all this. There's the link, Songbird, if you can share it in the comments. But yeah, it's really important that you study this and really make it your own. I know you like listening to me and but I know it. I know it now. I want you guys to know it so that you can share it. And if, like I said at the beginning, if you know someone who you think is interested in, first of all, if you have friends or family, you can share the book with them. It's $2.99 on Amazon. It's real easy that you can send that to them easily. You can also send them the audiobook, which is on freedomforce.live. I've got audiobooks for all three of the books. But if you know someone, like I said, who you feel like is an influencer who could help to get this message out, please email freedom over on freedomforce.live, and we'll see if we can connect and help us to connect with people who you think are ready, who want to know what the golden age is all about. It's really good news. It's really, really good news. I think that's it. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about? I'm going to be on the chat for a little bit longer. I hope you really enjoy it. I know I love it too. Such good news. And I'm ready for that seventh trumpet. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you are the King of the world, that you will assume your great power and begin to reign, and there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. Thank you so much, Lord, that we see the truth now. It's clear to us now. You've removed the veil, and we understand. I just pray for everyone on the battalion that you will help them to see the truth, understand it, so that they can share it, the good news of the kingdom. And Lord, that we see this terror that's coming for them, that you will remove these evildoers, and they will be brought to judgment, and that you'll reward your servants, the prophets. We praise you and thank you that you have spoken to us. Thank you that you continually speak to us, and we hear your voice, and you guide us through. You've guided us through this whole time, and we know that you'll guide us through to the end, and that you have great, great plans for us, that we will rule and reign with you on this earth. We again praise you and thank you for those who you've raised into these positions of power and authority, so that they are setting things right. Lord, use all of us to whatever way that you see fit. We are here, your willing, humble servants, to do your will. We're just so thankful to be a part of it. Just what a day. We're so thankful. We just pinch ourselves that you have chosen us to be part of what you're doing. And I just pray your blessing on everyone here. Pray your blessing on their health. I pray your blessing on their wealth. I pray your blessing on their families. I pray your blessing on everything that they put their hand to guide them. And so just bless us so that we can bless this world. And we just praise you and thank you. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I know it's so fun. I love it. I love you too, guys. I love you too. I'm so thankful that we're here together. Don't forget, go check out all the resources on freedomforce.live. Everything is over there. If you want to share the freedomforce.live/endtimes, that's a really great place for people to go. You can, because it has just some you know, information about end times to help someone get their toes into the water. Also, don't forget to go to freedomforce.live/health and go make sure that you are detoxing, that you are doing your smoothies every day. You're making sure you're getting your health, because the enemy's still trying to do all of his dirty tricks. But we will live to see this beautiful day. All right, guys, I love you. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
That's it.
All right, we did it.
You know, next week, what we're looking forward to.
Ooh, quickly. Ooh, what's the next? Yeah, let's do that real quick.
The sign of the Son of Man.
Oh, yay. Okay, we're there. Next week is the star sign in the heavens that the Lord gave us. That's next week. And we'll also, connect it to what it says in the rosary, that it's they told it in the rosary that was going to happen. So I'm going to put all that together for you. All right, I guess that's it. I love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, 11 a.m. I'll see you on our regular show. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.